Here are a few quick tips from Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Trouble sleeping? Adults can benefit from establishing a bedtime routine. Before going to bed, make a to-do list of things for the next day so that you don't forget the things you need to do the next day. And practice relaxation techniques before bed. Quick tips are brought to you by Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Get more tips on chad.org. Visit, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your guest host, Caroline McGuire, and we have a great show for you tonight. Our title is the Key to Managing ADHD, Limiting Choices? And with us in our virtual studio is Peter Shankman. Tonight is January 20th, 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And before we get to the meat of the show, I have two announcements. Please check out Dig Coaching /ATR. And Dr. Barkley asked me to remind you to check out ADHDfund.com, a crowdsourcing website designed to raise money for small-scale research for ADHD worldwide. And I think that's the end of our announcement, so let's get into the meat of the show. Again, with us is Peter Shankman. Peter is an entrepreneur, and he's an author. He has two very great books, Zombie Loyalists and Nice Companies Finish First. And he is very well known for he was the founder and CEO of the Geek Factory, a marketing PR firm in New York City. And he launched his blog in 1995 with comments on the generation of news and talk. And his career began with America Online, where he was a senior news editor. And you may know him best for the fact that he founded a company called Help the Reporter Out, which, you know, many of us get those every day in our inbox. And we first saw Peter at the CHAD conference this year, where he was the keynote speaker, and he had a great, great speech. So, Peter, welcome to the show. We were excited to have you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So, Peter, you told stories at the CHAD conference that absolutely all of us with ADHD could relate to, where instead of sort of wallowing in procrastination or struggling with your brain, you really had a very much brain-based thought of embracing things. And you talked and you told a story about how rather than, you know, being unable to write one of your books, you actually got on a plane and left for 48 hours. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I've written four books, two bestsellers on the art of customer service and the customer economy. And when my second book was due, I had about 2 weeks left. I had done all the research, but I hadn't written anything yet. And my editor called me. She goes, "Hey, how's it going?" I go, "Oh, great, almost done. This is great, doing well." And I hung up the phone and said, "Well, I guess I'm going to write this book." So I booked a flight to Tokyo for the next day. And I got on the plane. I wrote chapters 1 through 5 on the flight to Tokyo. I landed 14 hours later. I went to the lounge. I didn't even go through immigration. I went to the lounge. I had a cup of coffee, a couple of espressos. Got back on the same plane, same seat 2 hours later. flew 14 hours back to Newark and wrote chapters 6 through 10, landed about, I don't know, 31 hours after I took off with a book. It was great because I went through immigration back in New York and had a bit of an issue because I had never actually cleared immigration in Asia, and that set off some alarms. So there were a lot of guys with guns sitting me down in a room and asking for my story, and I'm like, here's the book I just wrote. They're like, yeah, you went to Asia to write a book. Sure you did. You know, cavity search time. I'm like, no, really, guys, that's what I did. So, you know, finally I had them call my editor who vouched for me. She said, yeah, that probably sounds like something he'd do, and he is under contract with us. And then she said, can you put him back on the phone? And I went, hey, thanks for doing that. She goes, not a problem. She goes, so you lied to me when you said you're almost done. I'm like, well, technically it's done. But yeah, that was a fun experience.
So, Peter, I'm sure there's many people on the internet right now thinking about buying some tickets to Asia to get some work done. Tell me something. Where did you come to this philosophy that inspired you to buy that plane ticket? I mean, how did this evolve?
Know thyself. I am very aware of what I'm good at. I'm very aware of what I'm bad at. I'm very aware of what helps me, and I'm very aware of where my triggers are. And knowing all four of those things allows me to live my life in a way that's beneficial for me. The premise of go write one page a night, you know, for 6 months and you'll take care of this entire thing sounds great in theory. And it's great for a lot of people. Unfortunately, it's not great for me. I don't work like that. And so the first step in knowing you have a problem is admitting you have a problem. I don't consider it a problem, but for me, I know what works best. You know, it's the same. So that's one of the positives. The positive for me is, yes, I will. The $5,000 or $6,000 it costs to buy a business class ticket on United, I wrote a book in 31 hours. It's the bestseller. Okay, well worth it. Well worth it. And you could phrase that the other way, too. I know the things that can hurt me, and I avoid them. So, you know, I'm a corporate keynote speaker. I speak for companies like Saudi Aramco and American Express and Disney. And I get paid a lot of money to do that. And I have the most basic speaking contract of any corporate speaker you'll ever meet in your life. It essentially says, pay me and I will speak. Fill in the date you want me and the time, and I will come out and speak. You will pay me and you will pay for my travel. And that's my speaking conference. Every client I've ever worked with says, oh, my God, you're the simplest person in the world. Yes, unless I'm speaking in Vegas. When I'm speaking in Vegas, my contract has a rider. And the rider says, speaker does not have to be on the ground from plane wheels down to plane wheels up for more than 8 hours. And the reason for that is that if I have to spend a night in Vegas, if I have time to kill there, you know, if I have access to anything in Vegas, bad things can happen. And so I eliminate that chance by making that rider. So if they want me for a keynote, I will keynote your conference over lunch. I will fly in on a 6 a.m. flight out of Newark. I will land at 10:30 in Vegas. I'll go right to your speech. I'll go do a 12:30 keynote, stay for an hour, sign some books, be back at the airport by 2:30, be on a 4 p.m. flight home. That is how I do Vegas. If you want me at any other times, I'm sorry, I can't speak at your conference in Vegas. And call it self-preservation. I call it knowing thyself.
So, Peter, I love that. And I'm sure that there are, many people who wish that their ADHD spouse or child or themselves could think that way. Let me ask you this. What allows you to make that choice and not get off track with that? Is it the contract? What is it that helps you to make that choice? Because it's a great limit setting, right?
It's exactly what you answered your own question. The setting of limits allows me to abide by them. Samuel L. Jackson was interviewed once. Samuel L. Jackson used to be a crack addict, and he got clean. And when he got clean, he started getting movie roles. And he was interviewed once and says, "What makes you stay clean and not go back to drugs?" He says, "Because if I go back to drugs," he goes, "I will not be a movie star anymore. And that is what I enjoy doing. And I make the choice every day. I make the choice every day to do things that are beneficial to me, to my wife and daughter, for my family. And I make the choice every single day to avoid things which can harm me or are negative for me. And
that has come after years of learning what those things are. I will be the, you know, I am blatantly honest about this. I have an incredibly addictive personality. I have said this in person many times. I think I said it at the Chad conference. I believe on any given day, I am 3 bad decisions in a row away from being a junkie in the streets. And I know that. And because I know that, I wake up every day and make the choice to do things that are beneficial for me and for my family.
Wow, that's powerful. You know, there was a speaker on there, I'm sure you've heard different speakers on ADHD say this, who say that all of us are sort of addicted to dopamine and the thrill and what have you. And obviously we need the dopamine for our brains. But, you know, what I hear you saying is that you're very, very aware of this role of your brain sort of directing you versus and you choose to make it a choice rather than be guided by that. Dopamine addiction.
Well, I would suggest that I choose to make a choice to obtain the dopamine or the serotonin or the CNOH2 molecules that I need. I make the choice to obtain those in a different way, in a way that's beneficial for me. There are people who make that choice, and I don't judge anyone. I'm just stating as fact. Some people choose to get that by snorting. Some people choose to jab a vein for it. It's a great line from Point Break where it says, some people snort for it, jab a vein for it. All you have to do is jump. I choose ways of getting my dopamine fix that are healthy and that are beneficial to me. It's no coincidence that I love being on stage. It's no coincidence that you saw me at my best. When I was on stage in front of a huge audience, dopamine was flowing through my system, and that was a great speech. I was dead on that speech, and I had a blast. So I've learned to get my dopamine through ways that benefit me. And the interesting thing is that, you know, you think of people with ADHD not being disciplined. You know, they're all over the joke is, oh, they're all over the place. You know, shiny, ooh, squirrel, right? Let me tell you something. I am the most disciplined son of a bitch you will ever meet in your life, because if I'm not disciplined, I will go to negative ways to get that dopamine, okay? Yesterday morning, I had an 8 a.m. Amtrak that I had to make to get to D.C. to give a speech. But I also, in my training calendar, had a 7-mile run. And you've seen me. I'm not fast. You don't look at me and go, wow, he's a Kenyan. No, I am fat, okay? So I'm not super fat, but I'm not going to run a marathon in 2 hours. I have, I'm a good 10-minute miler, 9-minute miler. So I'm not going to, I can't do 7 miles in like 30 minutes and then go catch my flight. If I need to do 7 miles, and I have an 8 a.m. Amtrak, well, I was outside yesterday at 4 a.m. on the West Side Highway jogging path getting my 7 miles in, because I wanted to give the best speech of my life, and getting that run in before Amtrak is the only way to do it. And
that's great.
You know, I walk back into my building at 5 a.m., 5:15 a.m. My doorman's like, I'm not even going to ask. I'm like, good.
So, Peter, what I'm hearing from you, what I'm hearing from you, we have to go to a break, is that I would love to hear more about this limiting choices and getting the dopamine, because I absolutely admire a person who will get up at 4 a.m. to get their dopamine so that they will give one of the best speeches of their life. I think that that's a great example. Let's go to a break, and when we come back, I'd love to hear more about that. And before we go to commercials, Peter does a mastermind, and it's called shankminds.com. shankminds.com/breakthrough. All right, we'll be going to a break and we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio. Looking for a new way to manage your ADHD or ADD? A new clinical trial is testing an investigational medicine for adults with ADHD. The medication is not a stimulant. There's no cost to participate, and health insurance is not required. If you've been diagnosed with ADHD and want to learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Peter Shankman in our virtual studio, and we were talking about a couple of key things. First, since we're a show about paying attention to what we're paying attention to, Peter had a great point, which is know thyself. And he has some great stories about basically satisfying your dopamine, the need for a dopamine fix, Peter, and making choices to kind of honor your brain. And the other thing you talked about in the Chad speech I definitely want to go on to because I think it's really interesting is you mentioned in the Chad speech you said something to the effect of you don't have computer games on your laptop and you limit the amount of shirts that you own.
Well, I do have a couple of computer games on my laptop, but I have a program that I use when I'm writing that's called OhmWriter. And OhmWriter shuts down the rest of my computer for a certain amount of time and only lets me use OhmWriter. So it sort of forces me to write and not switch over and play Bejeweled or something like that. So, which is a great, I just can't recommend that program enough. The other thing, in terms of the shirts, it's actually very simple. If I have less to think about in terms of day-to-day crap, that's more time that I have to think about creating great stuff. So I have an outfit when I speak. I wear a button-down shirt, a jacket, and jeans. When I'm not speaking, I wear a T-shirt and jeans. And that's it. That does not change. And, you know, God bless my wife. I love her. But she keeps buying me sweaters every year, and they keep sitting in the damn closet because I don't wear those. I wear, and they don't even sit in my closet because I don't need them there. They sit like in the back closet because I wear a T-shirt and jeans or a button-down jacket and jeans because the less I have to think about what to wear in the morning, the more I can think about creating great stuff. And it's just less that I have to use my brain on menial stuff. I mean, Obama only owns 2 suits. He only wears 2 suits. Zuckerberg only wears the hoodies. There's a reason for that. It's not because we're trying to make a statement. It's because that's how we work better.
I love it. You know, your wife's going to keep buying the sweaters. She likes the sweaters, but I think that it's great to have just the shirts and the jeans and the blazer. And it sounds like you've limited the choices again to sort of free up your mind and to allow yourself to create great things.
I call it the elimination of choice. And the elimination of choice makes life, for me, you know, sometimes I'll watch my wife, and look, my wife has the most incredible style of anyone I've ever met in my life. She has, I mean, she is
literally so well put together. You'd think she was an IMP construction. She's just incredible. But I watch her when we're going somewhere, I watch her get dressed and she says, okay, I'm ready. And she looks ready. And so I get my keys and I get my jacket and I go to the front door and I'm ready to go. And I stand at the front door for about 10 minutes and I realize she actually wasn't ready. She just looked ready. Then there's about 20 minutes of abstract busyness, I guess. So I sit back down and I turn on the television or go on the computer or something like that. And, you know, I don't understand where that comes from because she looks – I don't see a difference when she comes back 20 minutes later. I could be from the bed to the shower out the door in under 2.5 minutes because I limit that choice. So, you know, look, to each his own. It works for her. I think that's awesome.
Great too, and we would never ever criticize her because we're not that dumb. But it sounds like you mentioned something about food do you eat food in a certain like pattern or something to help you with this?
No, it's not a certain pattern. I try to be very, very healthy in what I eat, and I don't always succeed. You know, I live in New York City. It's required by law that you have, 8 slices of pizza a week or something like that, you know. what gets to me is I never understood people who can go, who can order a pizza, have a slice of pizza, and put the rest of it in the fridge for tomorrow. I'm not sure how they do that. When I order a pizza, I eat the pizza, you know, and that's a problem. And quite frankly, I do the same thing with alcohol, which is why I quit drinking. It's not that I'm trying to get drunk or it's not that I'm trying to eat the whole pizza. It's just if it's in front of me and it's there, it will happen. So for me, it's better to eliminate that. So I make sure, you know, I have specific things that I eat that allow me, again, to not have to think about it. I will have a protein bar, you know, and or a protein shake or a glass of water or whatever when I leave the apartment. My dinner, I call it poultry genocide. It's usually chicken, skinless chicken breast, because it's healthy and it has tons of protein. I try to avoid carbs. I try to avoid processed food. Not, A, because it's just wasted calories, but B, because I feel better and I feel healthier when I'm not eating crap. And I believe there's a direct link between what we eat and ADHD. I'm obviously not a PhD candidate, haven't figured it out yet, but I just know how I feel and I know how I work and I know how I work better when I'm eating healthier.
That makes perfect sense. And you know, it reminds me of sort of a grandma-ish phrase of sort of all good things in moderation. But like you said, for a lot of us with ADHD, if you have the entire pizza there, that entire pizza is gone. And so, you know, it sounds like you've sort of orchestrated a system that doesn't rely solely on willpower.
Pretty much. Yeah, look, I have willpower when I need to have willpower. You know, I was at the gym today and I wanted to get, I saw myself that I was doing really, really well on the recumbent bike. And I saw that I had 10 minutes left to sort of break a new personal best. And so I pushed myself and kicked my ass, but I did it. You know, that's one kind of willpower. The other willpower, I guess I look at it this way. You know, it's funny. I'm telling my daughter, when she talks a lot, I'm like, you know, you only have, she's like 2.5. I'm like, you know, you only have so many words per day that you're given. If you talk too much, you're not gonna be able to talk the rest of the day. And you know, my wife smacks me. She's like, stop telling her that. But the premise is true in terms of willpower. Why, if you have a lot of willpower, right? Why waste it on something as stupid as keeping a box of Malamars in the house and then trying to not eat them? Why just not keep the goddamn Malamars in the house? This isn't rocket science. Come on.
So we have to go to a break, Peter. You make me laugh. I'll never look at Malamars quite the same way again. But, you know, there's definitely scientists who say, you know, willpower is a finite resource. And, you know, you only have so much, everybody, every human being. And so you've sort of figured that out and cracked that code that, you know, why exert all of your willpower on a box of cookies?
It's similar to the terrorist and police concept. The New York City police have to be vigilant every single day to stop terrorism. A terrorist only has to succeed once. It's the same exact thing You know, that all I have to, if there's a box of Malamars in the fridge or in the cupboard, I have to prevent myself from eating it every single minute of every single day. The Malamars, they just have to freaking sit there.
Again, never will look at Malamars again the same way. When we come back, Peter, I definitely want to talk a little bit about how you came to this decision and what you find in terms of this effect on your success, because you're very successful, and you seem to have, cracked a lot of these codes. Before we go to commercials, I want to remind you about shankminds.com/breakthrough, and it's shankminds.com/breakthrough. All right, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
A new study is seeking adults 18 to 55 who have been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD. The study will examine the effects of an investigational medicine on symptoms of ADHD. The medicine is not a stimulant and works differently than currently approved ADHD medications. To learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com. or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We are here with Peter Shankman, and before the break, he had me laughing about rather than exerting willpower over a box of cookies, I'm going to go throw out every cookie in my pantry now. He is just not bringing them into the house and limiting some choices so that he is able to be as successful as he is. And he has some really funny stories. Peter, I wondered, how did you come to these decisions? You really do know thyself, and I'm sure that there are, I work in particular with children and teenagers, and I'm sure that there are parents who are going to call me tomorrow and say, why can't my kid be like that?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that at the end of the day, here's what it comes down to. And again, I think I said this in the beginning, at the end of the day, I have a desire to be successful and I enjoy being successful and I enjoy doing well. And my immediate goal, my first and foremost priority always is to my family. And it's not rocket science. I want to do things that will make it as easy as possible to achieve the goals I have. And, a friend of mine was in AA for about 20 years, and he still is actually, he's still recovering. And he said that when he first started, they asked him, they said, go to a meeting every day for 90 days. And he said, I don't know if I have the time for that. And sponsor looked at him and said, well, it's funny because you have the time to drink every day. And I guess I look at it like that. We make the choices based on what we desire the most. And I have friends who, are always amazed by my discipline and amazed by wow, I can't believe you're up so early at the gym, and I can't believe how you do it. I wish I could do that. I'm like, well, why can't you? You know, oh, you know, I don't have the willpower. I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with that. You don't want it bad enough. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not judging them. You know, the only thing that connects every single person in this universe is, you know, other than the fact that we can't live on another planet yet, is the fact that time is finite. And we all have the exact same 24 hours in the day, whether it's me or you or Beyonce, right? We all have the same 24 hours in the day. And if you stop and think about it, you have the same 24 hours in the day as Beyonce. She manages to get a workout in. You know, what's your excuse? And it's not, and again, I don't have the temerity to judge anyone. I don't feel it's not my place in the universe to judge anyone. But all I know is that the things that I desire require me to do things to get there. And some of them might be more difficult than, you know, there are people, like I said, who can walk into a room and who can have one drink and go home. That's easy for them. Or they can sit down and do their expense reports every month without having to think about it, without having to take a Concerta, without having to do anything. I can't do that. And so I use the tools at my disposal to achieve those same goals. And that's, at the end of the day, that's it.
Wow, that was really well put. Mothers across America are going to be definitely thinking about that because it's
a
really good point.
Peter@shankman.com. I answer every single email I get. You want to ask me about that stuff? I reply to every email. It would be my pleasure. I believe that's good karma, and the universe needs more of that.
Oh, I love it. That's nice. I'm partly joking, but I'm partly, you know, thinking that it is true because a lot of folks who are successful with ADHD, who we talk to on this show and we talk to at conferences, have a common theme, which is that they know themselves and they know that there are things they need to do to achieve their goals and to turn on their brain. And I think you even mentioned in your speech that you do jumping jacks before you meet with major clients or something to turn on your brain.
I either do jumping jacks or I do push-ups, or I'll – if I have a meeting on the 20th floor of a building, I will stop the elevator at 12 and I'll walk up 8 flights.
Wow.
It's a reset. It gets me dopamine. It gets me, you know, again, it's why I'm a skydiver. It gets me the adrenaline, the dopamine, the serotonin that I need in a beneficial, healthy way.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Now, when you have people around you who have ADHD working for you and what have you, do you give them advice, Peter, or do you just hold back? What's your policy on that?
If they ask me, I'm more than happy to. But I believe that it is not necessarily my job to give people advice unless they want it. I know what works for me. If you want to know what works for me, I am more than happy to share that if you ask. I don't have the temerity to believe that what works for me should work for everyone else. And that's actually, it's funny. I don't know if it's ADD related or not, but one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in my life is that it's not my job to change other people to suit my needs. It's my job to change, to be the best I can be. And if needed, change myself to suit the people that matter to me. Is a great quote. All you can do is keep your side of the street clean.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to be the best. I try to be the best I can be. And if someone wants help, I am more than happy to give it to them, but I'm not going to have the temerity to suggest that my way works for everyone. That's just not cool. You know, I'd rather do what works for me. And if you want that advice, yeah, I'm more than happy to give it to you. But, you know, if we each took care of ourselves a little more and stopped trying to fix other people, God, imagine what a better world it would be.
Yes, absolutely. I do think, though, that you have a great message to share, and I think that it's really powerful. And I know we have to move to a close, but I think it is very powerful for people to hear how successful you are with these kinds of things. Not that they would adopt the same exact strategies, but that they would think of looking at what works for them instead of trying to fit into the box. You know, we call it shoulding in coaching, where people talk about how they should be a certain way. And I think what I really hear that's powerful from you is this acceptance and really brain-based strategies to make it all work.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, it's not rocket science. It's what works for me through a lot of trial and error.
That's a great quote. Everyone, this has been great. Peter, I hope we get to see you again. Maybe you'll keep coming to conferences so we can you can be part of the tribe and reach out to all of us. This has been great fun. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.